Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Rochester's home for live sports and the best sports talk anywhere. AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader. ESPN Rochester.
All right, let's look ahead to Sunday. The Bills traveling to the Meadowlands for the second straight week in a row this weekend to take on the New York Giants, covering the Giants for ESPN.com, ESPN, NFL Nation. Giants reporter Jordan Renan, our guest here in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. Jordan, how are you, man?
Good. What's going on?
Jordan, appreciate your... can you hear us okay?
Yeah, definitely.
Nice.
Ready for a big... Giants-Bills game here.
Yeah, well, let's see here. I mean, it's Pat Shurmur. Just set us straight here because we read, okay. Was that a little bit of a diss on Josh Allen saying, oh, he thinks he can start in this league? How did you interpret the Giants' comment today on the quarterback of the Buffalo Bills?
Yeah, he said it yesterday. I think in his mind it wasn't a dig, but it certainly came off as sort of nonchalant. Like, that's not exactly the highest ceiling in the world. I think he's, he could become a starter in this league. And he was offered an opportunity to sort of clear it up. There was a follow-up question on it because people definitely turned their heads and was like, yeah, really? Just pick a guy who was going to be a top 10 pick, just a starter in this league? That's just what you kind of feel like his ceiling is. And he kind of doubled down on it. So, yeah, I mean, it is what it is. I don't think he looks at it as a negative, but it definitely kind of came off that way.
And Jordan, let's talk about the quarterback situation there with the Giants. I mean, Eli is certainly, I would imagine, on a short leash when you have an invested pick like Daniel Jones waiting in the wings. I mean, how soon could Eli get yanked? I mean, we have been kind of speculating as we looked at the schedule and we knew that Daniel Jones was going to be waiting in the wings. We thought to ourselves, if the Bills beat the Giants and Eli doesn't look good, that Daniel Jones could be starting as soon as week three for the New York Giants.
Yeah, I think that would probably be a little bit of a stretch considering the way the Giants have been handling this. And as we've seen, they've been very careful about how they move on from Eli Manning, right? I mean, he was benched 3 years ago. They started the process and then sort of, the blowback from that kind of made them reassess. So they've been very careful about how they handled Eli Manning over the past couple of years. I'd be surprised if they pulled the plug so early. And to me, and this is kind of the way it's been presented to me, is that they want to ride Eli until they feel like, their playoffs are kind of out of consideration. So I don't think they'd be willing to do that just yet in week two, even if this week goes poorly. But what I will say is that the calls for Daniel Jones are going to start coming, like way stronger if they lose this game this week, and that this public pressure is going to start to be put on the organization. And we'll see how they kind of react to that moving forward. And so it will be coming if they do lose this game and they are sitting there at 0-2 and they play poorly offensively, it is going to be a lot sooner than later. But if they do manage to win this game, then they're sitting there at 1-1, right, with games against Tampa Bay and Washington on deck. I think the likelihood is that they can pretend like they're contenders for a while, or they might actually be contenders for those. Crazier things have happened in this league, but you won't see Daniel Jones until late in the season.
Jordan Renan, ESPN.com Giants reporter, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Jordan, I don't know how much of the Bills-Jets game, it was kind of an odd game where the Bills opened up with all these passes and they're moving the ball and then they're turning it over. I'm just wondering if that might benefit the Buffalo Bills to do the same exact thing, seeing what happened with the Giants. Is that a product, what you saw last week at the Giants' defense, of Dak Prescott maybe coming of age here in terms of becoming one of those elite quarterbacks? Or is it what we might think here, that the Giants' defense, their secondary, really is that bad?
Probably a combination of both. I mean, the Giants, their biggest problem is, forget the secondary. I mean, the secondary might have problems in that they have some young players out there.
Pass rush.
But even more than that, They can't rush the pass.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have a guy on their roster who you're really scared is going to be a double-digit sack guy. Marcus Golden did it once, then he tore his knee and hasn't been the same player since. So I think, yeah, if you're going to attack this Giants defense, I wouldn't be surprised if the Bills didn't come out and throw the ball plenty. That's probably the way to do damage. First of all, that's the way to do damage in today's NFL, right? The rules are all tilted towards, hey, go out and throw the ball. You can't touch the receivers. You can't touch the quarterbacks. And then you look at the Giants defense, they can't really rush the passer consistently. And that makes it really tough, especially when you have young rookie cornerbacks out there. And they were picked on, those rookie cornerbacks. Or, I mean, Antonio Hamilton, who is a guy who's not a rookie, but he played zero defensive snaps for the Giants last year. He was out there. So, yeah, look for the Bills to throw the ball plenty and attack really that spot, that cornerback spot opposite Janoris Jenkins, where the Giants will probably be throwing in first-round pick DeAndre Baker a lot more than they even did in week one.
Jordan, mentioning that weakness on the defensive line and the lack of a pass rush from the New York Giants, was everybody in the organization, we know how the fans felt about the pick of Daniel Jones, was everyone in the organization on board with taking Daniel Jones, especially when you had somebody who looks like he could be elite long-term in Josh Allen South that ended up going to Jacksonville?
Yeah, I mean, look, the future of the franchise is going to be contingent on the franchise quarterback, right? I mean, that's how it works. You guys know, I mean, you've been searching for that franchise quarterback for how long up there?
Yeah.
And hopefully have him now, but, you know, you get that guy and then everything else will kind of fall into place. I think in the long term, and the people organization know this, that they needed to get that guy in the building. They had waited long enough already, and they had pegged Daniel Jones as that guy, and I do think that Coach Pat Shurmur, look, he didn't come to the Giants to not have say on who that quarterback is going to be, and a guy that he's not completely sold on, right? I mean, this is his last chance to be a head coach in the NFL. I mean, he's in his fourth season, and his career winning percentage is barely over 300. He's not taking any chances on a guy that he's not fully on board with, and I think so. I do believe that the entire organization was on board with that. Ultimately, does it really matter if you draft your franchise quarterback 6 or 17? If that guy is legit, you'll be fine.
Jordan Renan, our guest here, we haven't talked much about Saquon. I think that's what everybody's kind of freaking out about here. How do you stop this guy? Gosh, by the time the Giants get this turned around, how much time will you have left with Saquon Barkley in his prime, Jordan?
Yeah, that was always the concern, right? That was always the argument against why you're drafting Saquon Barkley. You need the quarterback. You don't have a quarterback. And if, you know, let's just say the Giants hovering mediocrity this year, and Daniel Jones barely does play, and then he has to take his lumps next year. You're looking at what, Saquon's fourth year before this team has a chance to legitimately be good. That's rough. So, yeah, it's a definite unorthodox thing. But look, the guy's tremendous. He's a great player when he's on the field. We see, I think, how much a great running back these days leads directly, you know, directly correlates to wins and losses. I'm not sure it's a great deal. You got to have that quarterback next to him, and that's what the success of the Giants was going to be contingent on Daniel Jones, probably even more than Saquon Barkley. We know Saquon Barkley is awesome, and if you're the Bills, you just hope that Pat Shurmur only gives him the ball 11 times, hands off the ball to him 11 times on Sunday, because that's probably the best strategy for the Bills to have success against him, because he's just a dynamite player, both in the run game and the pass game, and expect him to be a big part of that pass game, especially with their wide receiving core just beat up right now.
Yeah, Jordan, I mean, we were speculating that the best way for the Bills to win is to get off to an early lead and really follow that Dallas blueprint and then maybe force...
The Giants are not built to be able to combat that, right? They're like a run-heavy team as much as you can in this league in today's game. So, yeah, that they would have a hard time being a comeback team, a team that tries to come back behind.
Jordan, I want to talk about how this team is kind of, if you want to look at this year as part of maybe a three-year rebuild with under you know, the watchful eye of Dave Gettleman. The one thing that I think doesn't get talked about enough, at least we haven't heard enough about it, I don't think, is what this offensive line has done with the Giants, how they've kind of overhauled their offensive line from last year to this year. Talk a little bit about that and how that could potentially be the strongest part of this Giants team.
Yeah, definitely greatly improved, because last year, week one, they started Eric Flowers at right tackle and Patrick Amame at right guard. By the middle of last year, Patrick Omame and Eric Flowers were not even on their roster. They were cut. They were cut before midseason. So now they've replaced those two guys with Kevin Zeitler at right guard, and Zeitler comes from Cleveland. You're talking about an upper echelon right guard. So you're replacing a guy who basically was cut and is in the starter in the league with an upper echelon guy, and then Mike Remmers, who at least is a professional right tackle, where the Giants even get average play from him throughout the year. It's a massive upgrade from what they had in the past. So the line is greatly improved. The left side was fine last year, as it was their strongest suit. So that is where the Giants are going to rest their laurels at this point. And I'd be stunned if they didn't lean on that line. I was stunned in the opener that they didn't do it, because this team is built to be a power-ish type team right now, right? Get in there, get two tight ends on the field, and then line it up, run Saquon, run Saquon, run Saquon again, try to hit a play-action pass. That's what the Giants are built to do, especially with that offensive line at this point. And really, they came out there in the opener, they ran something like 78% three wide receiver set. And you're like, huh? That doesn't really make any sense. What are you doing here? And that's how you end up with Saquon getting 11 carries. And Pat Shurmur has been fielding questions since then about why Saquon only got 11 carries, and especially with the way the line played. He ran for 120 yards on just 11 carries. So to think that they won't come into this game and then just try to pound the ball and play that power football that they're kind of designed to do and grind it out, and just, in a way, it also protects that defense that we talked about before, right? So that's sort of their blueprint to have success, and I would be stunned if they didn't try it against the Bills this week.
Jordan, I would have to think a major storyline in New York this week is going to be the homecoming, if you will. Again, same stadium, different team, but Odell Beckham Jr. going back to MetLife Stadium for Monday Night Football. To us here in the outside world, my gosh, that was shocking. They had him signed to this big deal. How did this all happen? I mean, was it all surprising to guys like yourself who cover this team on a day-to-day basis?
It was surprising only in that management allowed them to pull the trigger. You knew that if it was Dave Gettleman's druthers, he would have gotten rid of him probably the year before, and that they did shop him around the previous year, and that they were doing it again this offseason, and we heard about the offers from the Browns lingering. But to actually see it get done was a surprise. And now you see Odell, who, by the way, is in Cleveland, and he feels like he's been liberated, and he can say whatever he wants now. They're giving him more, you know, leeway to, you know, be himself. And go look at those headlines right now, and I think you're seeing exactly that right now. He's in just I don't care mode. I'm going to say whatever I think is true at the moment and not hold back at all. And it's going to make it for interesting, debate. And on Monday night when he comes and faces now Greg Williams, who he basically said he knows tried to injure him in a preseason game several years ago, when a cornerback for the Browns in the preseason kind of dove and bent his ankle backwards.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that'll be interesting drama on the field on Monday night, which is part of the deal with Odell. That's part of the package that comes with it, and that's kind of what the Giants tired of. There's always something with him.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily these crazy, he's not getting arrested. He's not fighting with his teammates. The guys in the locker room love him. But there's always just something. There's a chip on his shoulder. He decides to wear a watch while playing, which on its own, right? It's just silly. But these are the kind of things that come with him. But he's also a great receiver. That's the flip side of it.
Yeah, a lot of talent. But Jordan, I was saying caution to Browns fans. I mean, this is how it starts. First, it's the I'm going to wear a watch during the game no matter what anybody tells me to do. And the next thing you know, he's threatening to punch his GM in the face, or he's recording conversations with Freddie Kitchens and releasing them on his Instagram account or whatever it might be. Like this doesn't feel like – it doesn't feel to me like
– But that's where I think it changes. Like, Odell does silly things. It never gets serious. He's actually not a bad guy. You speak to him. He's not dumb. He's actually a pretty smart guy. And, you know, he went to the same high school that Eli and Peyton Manning went to, that Drew Brees sent kids to in New Orleans. I mean, he's a pretty bright guy. He kind of knows where that line is between silly and just right and wrong. So I don't think you get to that degree with Odell.
Jordan Renan, our guest, as we wrap up here, Jordan, Bills, Giants, line moved a little bit. It wouldn't surprise me if the Bills won this game. Wouldn't surprise me if the Giants won this game. How do you see this playing out this week?
I think it'll be the low scoring. I know the Giants, like I said, I think they're going to try and grind it out. I think I picked the Bills after watching the Giants last week. It was hard to pick them after seeing what their defense did. Now, I think part of that, and this is not to say I don't think the Bills are an improved team, I believe. And I actually think they're going to be decent this year. But that Cowboys team that we watched looked really good. I mean, they're really talented. I think they're an upper echelon team. So the Giants were on the road, a young team. I don't think they're quite as bad as they showed. So I do think they'll fare better. Like, look, remember I mentioned that pass rush that they don't have? Nothing against the Bills, but the Bills don't have the Cowboys offensive line. So they'll have more success in that regard. They'll have more success defensively against the Bills than they did against the Cowboys team that probably has more offensive talent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the problem is the Bills have a really good defense, so I think the Giants will have trouble scoring and really moving the ball consistently because they really don't have many real playmakers. They're so limited in that regard. When they move the ball, it's just little chunks at a time, moving it like, you know, piece by piece by piece, play by play by play down the field. And it's really hard to produce points that way. And really, that's why their offense last week only produced 10 points. So I got 22-20 Bills.
Jordan, you're gracious with your time to join us here on ESPN Rochester.
Oh, I saw what he did there. You realize if Norwood makes the kick, that's the final score of that game, right,
down,
Jordan?
Jesus, how many?
Actually, you know what?
How many years has it been? Let it go,
Jordan. Did you do that intentionally?
Let it go.
I swear. I didn't do that intentionally. That didn't even come up.
You're talking to the. Wrong kind of Bills fan
that,
here.
I didn't even know that that was the score. I mean,
unbelievable.
I was 7 years old and I started covering the Giants, 6 or 7 years ago. So that didn't even pop into my head. That's actually ironic that I did pick that score, though.
Yeah. You bring it up to this Bills fan over here, and you know, yeah, nothing's going to get...
It'll be a Hauschka 47-yard field goal. Right upright.
Nothing gets by him. Jordan, you're gracious with your time. I want to make sure you have plenty of time to tell our listeners
you
can work with, or what you're working on for ESPN.com before we let you go.
Yeah, I'm talking about how, you'll see tomorrow, I wrote a story about how this is really the litmus test for the Giants of where they're going to be this year. That I think the Cowboys game, nobody expected them to win that game. They were 7-point underdogs. This is going to be a more realistic indication of what the Giants are going to be this year and whether they can be that pseudo playoff contender that that they kind of think that they could be, that they can be in that mix and maybe sneak out a good season. Then, even though I know a lot of people around don't think that's possible. Trust me, inside the Giants building, they thought they were a lot better than everybody else.
Jordan, great stuff. Appreciate your time today. And, good luck covering this team for the rest of the year.
You got it, guys. Enjoy.
Talk to you soon. Jordan Renan, ESPN.com, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the New York Giants in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia.
Come on. You weren't around then. Super Bowl 25 is seared into my brain.
I wasn't around. I mean, I was here.
You were here.
But no. I wasn't here. I was alive.
Well,
I remember
you were
the
not
Super
in
Bowl.
Western New York at
no,
that point.
No, but I remember the Super Bowl. I remember wide right. Who doesn't? I just think it's time to let it go. We keep bringing up things like the drought and wide right, and we keep
Look, if somebody says, "Hey, the Bills are going to win this game,"
you were just making fun of Saints fans on Monday for not letting it. Saints fans, you have to let it go. You got hosed. Let it go. Don't wear your referee. Gene, you're talking about a game that happened almost. This is a generation ago now, right? I mean, like it was a long time ago. We gotta let it go. Move on.
Yeah, we're coming up on 30 years ago.
Stop.
30 years ago.
No, it's enough. We move on. Only you would have picked that out, that he gave a score.
I am not the only one. I swear. Other people are like, that's funny. The score would have been 22-20.
That's his little knife twist on the way out of the sports bar. He stabbed you in the gut, and he twisted it with his prediction.
Yeah, the Bills will win this game, but he didn't win the one that counted.
Oh,
Jordan was great.
Yeah, that was really good. There's our new ESPN NFL Nation guy, a Giants report. He's the Marcel Louis Jacques of the New York Giants. for ESPN NFL Nation. We'll have a chance to talk to him again in the future, too, I'm sure. That was awesome. Jordan Renan, we'll get that up for you on demand shortly at ESPNRochester.com.
You can write to us at Twitter, at ESPNRochester, as Patrick did. In that 15-second clip of Gase, QB1, 14, QB2, Trevor, QB3, Luke Fall, as he goes on, he gets more specific.
Yeah, he's great. Listen.
And then 14 has mono and will be out for this game. So Trevor will be starting. And Luke Falk will get elevated at some point and be the backup. So
that will be that.
That would be that.
Yeah. That would be that. 14 has mono.
Dude, that is the most important player if you're going to have success in New York. 14.
Trevor will be our starter. Luke Falk. The spare that's on the practice squad, we're going to call him up at some point. But I'm not going to acknowledge our starting quarterback, our franchise. No. 14 has mono. I look like Larry King at age 40.
My eyes coming out of my head.
Bug-eyed, frog eyes.
I think the Jets media was frightened because after that clip, nobody says anything for like 10 seconds.
I don't think they were expecting to hear that the franchise quarterback has mononucleosis. I don't know that they were expecting that. Or 14 has mono. 14 has mono. Okay. You are a football guy, Adam Gase. You are all football with your smelling salts before week one of the preseason. Wow. So football. We good here?
We're good.
Okay.
We're good.
NFL appetizers on the way next hour. We'll cover not just that story with the New York Jets. We have other New York Jets stories to share with you as well. Man, there are lot to unpack today if you're a Jets fan. Good luck. We'll get to the NFL's top stories in bite-sized form about an hour from now in the sports bar. Next, we have some takes lined up for you. It's called I'll Drink to That in the Sports Bar.
All right. How on earth could a Miami Dolphin team pull this off as a 19-point underdog? Story today out of New England that is going to make you say, oh, this is why Tom Brady has trouble down in Miami. I'm grasping at straws here, Danger, but it's a creepy Tom Brady story. We're all up for that. And, yeah, the birthday game and radio, okay, today, well, somebody turned 30 in sport today, and I'm seriously wondering what he's doing on this day.
I'm going to mention a player who, if he was on a team who had any sort of semblance of the quarterback position, would be an absolute freak, and we would be setting him up to be one of the best of all time. He's playing tonight, and my non-sports take is going to come right from the Capricorn in me. Ugh, I
what?
Can't believe I just said that.
Ew.
I'll explain. You're in the sports bar. Takes on tap next. I'll drink to that. AM 950, 95.7 FM. ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action from AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.